Good morning. Thank you all. It's always great to be back in the Hoosier State. I was just here a couple of weeks ago, and although I have to tell you, when I was back at the airport flying out of here after the Indiana Corn Growers Colts event, the proverbial, you know what, hit the fan. Senator Coburn tried his backdoor policy to kind of change all of renewable energy policy overnight, and I was delayed at the airport for about 4 hours, and my battery on my cell phone went dead twice during that process. But it's been a hectic couple of weeks since I was last here. It's exciting to be here, and we certainly face a number of challenges in this industry. But you know, I also think we face a lot of opportunities still, and all the stuff that's happened in Washington the past couple of weeks has primarily been symbolic. We knew the legislation that Senator Coburn and Feinstein were trying to amend going in was not going to become law. It had a lot of problems. There was doubts it would even pass the Senate, and we all knew that. But you still have to fight hard against those type of attempts. And as the end result, you know, we won the first skirmish on a procedural vote. We lost a second procedural vote, but then we won a significant victory in the Senate 15 minutes later with the defeat of the McCain Amendment, which would stop the federal government from using any funds to address the barriers we face, primarily flex fuel pumps into the marketplace. So it was pretty wild week, and as we predicted, that legislation was going nowhere and ultimately didn't even make it out of the Senate. However, if it had made out of the Senate, it would have been, it would have died when it went to the House, because the Constitution of the United States says that all revenue bills must originate in the House. But there was a lot of ink, there was a lot of conversations. Where do we go on ethanol policy? And I think most of you know, as an industry, we're all united. We want to see the infrastructure addressed. We want to see the tax credits extended for the next generation of biofuels, a small producer tax credit, and a significant federal investment into flex fuel pump technology to help the retailers so we can give consumers choice at the pump. The big question, though, is where do we find a legislative vehicle that actually is going to get enacted into law? As you know, Washington is pretty divided. You have your partisan divisions, and then you have your House versus Senate divisions versus the administration, and they're all not on the same page very often, if at all, so that, which means that not a lot of legislation is getting signed into law at this point. Obviously, the Thune-Klobuchar alternative, which basically eliminates VTEC by July 1st, and captures the savings to the federal government, puts some of it back into deficit reduction and some of it into infrastructure and some of it into continuation of some tax policy, is our preference. Because we all know the end of this movie. It's pretty clear that come the end of the year, when the VTEC authorization ends, it's going to be very difficult to get any new money. It's going to be very difficult to get any new tax provisions extended. So that's where we are on the legislative front. On the regulatory front, we haven't forgotten and continue to work very hard on getting the blend wall scaled. And as you know, 2 years ago, last March, Growth Energy filed the waiver for with the EPA to raise the blend level from E10 to E15. And we have struggled with delay after delay on that process. We finally got the decisions out of EPA this past January that ultimately we would be able to provide E15 for every light-duty vehicle in America manufactured after 2001. That's about 70% of the auto or the vehicle fleet, and it's even higher, closer to 80% of the total fuel usage. But we're not there yet. We're still waiting on EPA for a labeling rule in which they will inform the consumers at the pump of what type of fuel you can use or what type of vehicle you can use this fuel in, the new E15. We face a couple other regulatory hurdles in that regard, one being the Underwriters Laboratory certification of existing pumps. And as many of you know, there's a wide variety of pump configuration, tank configuration in the retail industry, with about 175,000 different retail outlets. You could imagine the variety of that. That issue has to be addressed, and we still are working on the one-pound waiver and the reed vapor pressure issues surrounding E15. We still place this as the highest priority to get short-term market access for the industry. Longer term, back to the policy stuff that we're all currently debating now, and that's to build out the flex fuel pumps and flex fuel vehicles and let consumers choose at the pump. With that, I'll stop and take any questions, comments, suggestions, ideas, you name it.